Turn your Bible to Romans chapter 12. Again, look at verse 5. In Romans chapter 12, we looked at it on yesterday. Paul says that the body, referring to the church, that the body is made up of many members, and members one towards another. And what he's saying is that members in the church, we have an obligation to each other. And this afternoon discussion, we've been talking about what are our obligations to each other. And yesterday, we talked about what obligation. What was the obligation? Can anyone remember? To what? To love one another. What a wonderful obligation. To love others more than we love whom? Self. To love others unconditionally. And to love others enough that when people have done us wrong, we let it go. To love enough that we as Christian, we just don't talk the talk. We what? We walk the talk. We put into practice what Christianity is all about. Today, what I want to talk to you about is exhorting one another. Exhorting one another. I can think of nothing that's more needed in the church right now than for Christians to exhort one another. What is meant by that phrase, exhort one another? At least four things are mentioned and implied in exhorting one another. The first is that we need to take the time every day to motivate each other to reach their potential. There's somebody in this audience right now that needs to be motivated to reach his or her potential because there are people who are contemplating giving up. There's somebody that you know that was active in the church a year ago, but not this year. Somebody that was active in the church 5 years ago, but he or she's no longer here. You know why? Somebody didn't exhort him or her. That's why it's so important. Because if we don't take the time to exhort one another, there'll be some that will fall by the wayside. And so it means to motivate. Those in the church that used to be active that are sitting and doing nothing. They used to be. And what the Bible is encouraging us to do is taking the time. That's a big phrase, taking the time. That's what exhorting is. It is having taken the time to go around and every day assessing the church members and seeing where they are and saying, sister, step up. Brother, step up. God needs us to take the time to go around and motivate one another. But it also means to comfort one another. There's somebody perhaps in this audience today that's going through something. We don't even know about what you're going through. It could be a sickness. It could be family problems. It could be financial problems. It could be a job problem. Christians need to be comforted. And that word exhorting one another means to take the time to comfort one another. Sometimes a brother or sister just needs somebody to hold his or her hand. Let me know it's going to be all right. Because last night, somebody perhaps spent some hours crying. I don't know what you were crying about. But there's somebody in the church that's going through something and they just need to know that somebody cares for me. And that's why Paul says we need to exhort one another because we go through things and we are shaken by things. And that's why he says we need not just to motivate people. We need to take the time to comfort one another. That you're going to make it through this ordeal, sister. You're going to make it through this, brother. I know your children or whatever is weighing hard on your heart, but you're going to make it. We've been there. Haven't you been in the valley before? Amen. You've been in the valley, but somebody came along and encouraged you, and you didn't see how you were going to make it through, let alone tomorrow. You don't see how you're going to make it through the day. But you get a phone call. I remember being a student at Freed Hartman University. We just got married, and we were both students at Freed Hartman University, and we wanted to be independent of our parents. We didn't want them to help us. And I tell you what, she was working, and I was preaching, making $25 a week. $25 a week, and sometimes we had more month than we had money. You ever been there? Around the 21st, and you don't have anything. And that happened all the time. We had nothing. Not a penny in the bank. We didn't have a checking account because we didn't have anything to put in there. All the money we had was in our pocket. And there were times we had just hot dogs and beans. And sometimes we just had beans with no hot dogs. But then I would go to my mailbox and I would open it up and there was a letter, somebody saying, I heard that you wanted to be a preacher. Here's $10. Here's $10. Honey, we're going to have hot dogs tonight. Oh, man, that happened. I can't tell you how many times. Don't tell me. And that just lifts my spirit that God is going to take care of us. And he has. And he has. But it means not only to motivate. It means not only to encourage. But it also, to comfort. It means to encourage one another. We elders here at the congregation here need some assistant elders. Now, what I mean by assistant elder, assistant coach, is people that go around and just encourage members. Hang on in there. Hang on. That's what we need. The elders are busy and the ministers are feeding our souls, but we need people go around taking the time. That's the key. Taking the time every Sunday, going around encouraging people. Hang on in here. Oh, I missed you last Sunday if they were not here. I hope you'll be here back tonight. I look forward to seeing you Wednesday night. Oh, you're such a joy to see you. That's encouraging. That's exalting. And then there are those who need hope. They need hope. They need hope. And so, please, I encourage you and I encourage myself. Let us all take the time to exhort one another. Why? Why do we need to exhort one another? Why? Turn to 1 Peter 5, verse 8. In 1 Peter 5, verse 8, you're familiar with the text. It talks about Satan. That Satan is a vicious lion. We're introduced to him back. He did the same thing to Job, you know, in the book of Job. You read in Job chapter 1, what was Satan doing every day? Going to and fro through the earth, seeking people whom he can what? Tear up. What Satan wants to do today is mess up your life. How can he do it? Discourage you. Satan's most effective tool today in the Lord's church of getting people to quit is to discourage you. Satan is going to work on you, your spirit. He wants you to feel like you're not loved, you're not appreciated, and you just want to quit and you just want to give up. That's what Satan wants to do to every Christian. He wants to discourage you, and he's going to and fro through the earth every day, knocking on your door, telling you that you can't do it, and that there's no hope for you. And that's why we need to do what? Exhort one another. Because Satan is working on somebody today. Somebody right in this audience today, you're wrestling with something. Satan is trying to break your spirit. Don't let him. Don't let him. Back in your current respective congregation that you've come from, there's somebody back in your congregation that's going through something right now. Satan is trying to break his or her spirit. Don't you let him. Go back. Do what you can to encourage someone, but it takes time. It takes time. You're going to always, you're saying, well, nobody encourages me. Nobody tells me it's how great the day is. Don't worry about what someone is not. You be busy doing it for somebody else. You'll be busy doing it for somebody else and you'll reap the benefit. Satan is seeking someone. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Look at verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. And Paul tells them that we're not ignorant. We're not ignorant. We're not unaware of Satan's what? Devices. We're not ignorant of and unaware of Satan's devices. Satan wants you to worry about things that you can't change. Satan wants you to worry about things that you have no control over. You can't make somebody change his or her life. And you're worried about this and you can't sleep. And Satan wants you to do that. And that wears on you. And that tears you down. That takes so much energy away from you. You know what worrying will do? Worrying will wear you down faster than anything I know. And Satan wants you to worry about things. And that's why we have to go around and pick people up. You ever played sports? You ever known your children to play sports or grandchildren? And when they lose a game, how they get down in the dumps? And the coach has to spend the next 2 weeks going picking them up? Well, that's what the church is the same way. We have things that go in our lives. We get down. And guess what? It takes us each picking people back up. How do you do it? Exhorting one another. Encouraging one another. Because Satan can stop this church and any church for being an outreach by taking away your spirit. Your spirit of love. Your spirit of excitement. Your spirit of joy. And when people come and they don't sense joy and excitement in you about being a Christian because Satan has robbed it from you, guess what? They don't want to be a part of it. They don't want to be a part of it. And so what Satan wants us all to do is to feel discouraged, to have the stresses of life to weigh us down, to have us to think only about self and don't think about anybody else. I encourage you today to think about, what can I do to encourage someone today? What can I do to encourage someone today, to exhort someone, to hang on in there? Don't give up. I know you're contemplating leaving. Don't do it. Hang on in there. Things are going to get better. Let's look at what the Bible has to say about exhortation. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. We looked at this verse last night, but I want to look at it again. 1 Timothy chapter 4, look at verse 13. Paul talking to Timothy. He says, Timothy, I left you in Ephesus. And he left him there to do something. And he says, while you're in Ephesus, I want you to give attention to what? Three things. You remember those? He said, I want you to give attention to three things. One, reading. Second, exhortation. Third, doctrine. Reading the scriptures. Reading the scriptures that you can grow. Exhortation, take the time to encourage somebody else. There it is. In order for the church to be strong, then doctrine means teach people outside the church what they need to know in order to have a relationship with God. Look at those three things. For yourself, read the scriptures. For others, exhort them, encourage them, lift them up, give them hope, comfort them. Take the time. There's somebody today who's a member of West Palm Beach, who's a member of your respected congregation that needs a phone call. Take the time to call somebody today and just tell them that Jesus loves you. God loves you. You just don't know. You might be the saving grace for that person to make it through this week. It's amazing what a phone call could do, or to write a letter to someone. Maybe someone who has moved away and you know they have quit the church and you have their address. Will you please take the time, 15 minutes, to write down something and mail it to them and just tell them how much the Lord loves them and how much the Lord would love to see them to come back into the church and how much rejoicing there would be in heaven? That's why he says, until I come. While you're down in Ephesus, that church is surrounded by so much worldliness. And there are Christians who are going through a variety of things. Give attention to reading. Give attention to exhorting one another. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, or chapter 5 rather. Look at verse 14. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look at verse number 14. And the King James, he starts off with, he says, but exhort one another. Exhort one another. He covers a variety of things. He says, exhort one another in the church. In Thessalonica, he says, exhort one another. And there are four things he exhorts them to do. Number one, to warn the unruly. What do you mean there? There are some people in the congregation that are not living right. Don't go and tell them how low down and no good they are. What he's saying is to go and encourage them to stop living unrighteous. To stop living unrighteous. There are people in every congregation that's struggling with sin. And he says, go and encourage the unruly, those who are not living right in the church, to exhort them and encourage them to give up the world. The Lord loves them. Then he says, what? Comfort the faint-hearted. There are some people who are discouraged, and they're going through some things. And what they're going through is breaking their spirit. They used to be so excited and energetic on Sunday morning, but when they walk in, you can tell something's wrong. They're walking with their head down. He or she's carrying a burden. And he says, comfort the feeble-hearted. And then he says, also, I want to encourage you to uphold those who are struggling with something. They're struggling with something. I encourage you to encourage them not to give up. And then look at the fourth and final thing he says at the end of that chapter. And he says, be patient with all of them. Those people who are wrestling with sin, be patient with them. Those people who are disheartened, be patient with them. Those who are contemplating giving up because they're going, be patient with them. When people in the church are wrestling with problems and sins, be patient with them. That's part of exhorting one another, is that you're being patient with them while you're telling them to hang on in there. Amen? Turn to 1 Thessalonians. Turn over back to chapter 4. Look at the last verse in chapter 4. The people in Thessalonica, they worried about a lot of things. You ever know people in a church that worry a lot? I'm going to keep on talking about worry because that is a problem in every church of our Lord. People worry. We worry about a variety of things. And they were worrying about the second coming of Christ. There were some who told them that Christ was not coming back. And they were worrying. And listen to what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18. He says, comfort, the King James says. Some translation says, encourage one another with what? These words. Use the Bible. There are some people that just need to go over on a Saturday or a Monday or a Thursday and read the Bible with them. It would do them so much good. It would bring them comfort to know that the Lord loves them. Comfort one another. Encourage one another. Motivate one another with these words. Comfort one another. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Look at verse 24. He's talking to saints there. And he says something. We often quote verse 25, but verse 24 is a powerful verse. He says, let us consider one another. Let us be mindful of each other. And he says something. He says, let us provoke. Now, provoke here in the Greek doesn't mean the way we use the word provoke. He's not saying irritate somebody. He's not saying make someone mad. The Greek word for provoke in this text means to excite somebody, motivate somebody. So let us be considerate on a Sunday morning instead of just going over there to your pew. When you come in, think about somebody sitting down over there and she may not have a friend, nobody with her. Consider her or consider him and go over and provoke him. In other words, reach out your hand. Brother, it's so good to see you. Brother, it's so good to see you. Oh, I love you, brother. Oh, I love you. Oh. You know what? That brother will remember that hug for the rest of the day. So I kissed him on the cheek and left a little wet spot there. No. Oh, no, come on. That's what he's saying. Provoke one another. Excite one another unto love and what? Good works. And so much the more as they see this is Saturday. And the next day is Sunday. When you call someone up and say, oh, I just can't wait to see you tomorrow at church. I can't wait for us to get together. They're not going to want to forsake the assembling as the manner of some is. In order for the church to stay alive, somebody's got to take some time to promote, to encourage one another. Why? Turn to Hebrews 2, verse 1. In Hebrews 2, verse 1, listen what Paul tells that could happen. It could happen to you. It could happen to me. It could happen to Brother Dan. It could happen to Brother Dave. It could happen to any of the elders. That one day you find someone who has drifted away. Any of you know anyone who has quit the church? And they just didn't wake up one morning and say, I'm going to not stop going to church. It was a slow process. And you can be unaware that you're drifting because you forgot to cast down the anchor. Just like you're out in a boat and you're not even aware that boat is moving. That boat is moving, and there are some individuals in the church who are drifting away. And if you don't take aware of it, you're not aware. I had no idea that she was, going to quit the church. He was going to. I had no idea. That's why he says, exhort one another so that we don't have people that wake up one morning and one Sunday and they're not there. A year, they're not there. He says, take the time that our brothers and sisters, they don't drift away. Amen. Please exhort someone. Think of someone the day of three or four people that you can spend the rest of this year encouraging them, exhorting one another. Now look at Hebrews 3, verse 13. In Hebrews 3, verse 13, it says, exhort one another. When? Today. Today. Why? Because the possibility of emerging in them a deceitful heart of what? Unbelief. That's why you need to encourage them. That's why you need to tell them to hang on in there. That's why you need to keep praying for them. That's why you need to keep patting them on the back. It was a few years ago when I started preaching at Oak Grove. When I went there, I said, I'm going to do everything I can to encourage this small body of believers here. And I said, every Sunday, I'm going to go around and hug every member. Now, you got to understand, I was a man that I didn't allow people to get too close to me. I've told you all about that years ago, about my low self-esteem struggle. I just did not allow people. But I said, hey, I'm not thinking about what's good for Sammy. There's some Christians that need to be encouraged. Every Sunday, I go around and hug everybody. I get permission. And there are those who come and visit. Is it okay to hug? Because I want them to know that I love them. And I want you to be a part of this body of believers here. And I appreciate you. And every Sunday, I take the time. I get there early. And I go around because I want people to know that God loves them. If it takes time for me to have to do that, and I'm a little late, that's okay. Get in the pulpit, that's all right. Because I'm going to stand there as long as I want to anyway. No. Well, I just got to encourage people. Oh, 3 minutes. Oh, man, I haven't even gotten to the meat of what I wanted to get to, so let me get to it. And that's this. I want to encourage you today to be a Barnabas. Barnabas. Why? I can't think of anybody in the Bible that's a better encourager than Barnabas. And I wanted to share with you three reasons why, but I want to just take time now to share with you one. Turn to Acts chapter 9. Look at verse 26. Why should you be a Barnabas? Because Barnabas made a difference in the lives of some people. You heard about this man named Saul? That Saul was a murderer, and Saul was converted. He preached his first sermon in Damascus and went up to Jerusalem. And when he got to Jerusalem, imagine the first Sunday service. Saul walks to the door and he sits down. And everybody knew Saul. They knew this murderer. And he's sitting in church service. Guess what everybody did? Everybody over there got up and went to the other side. And he was over there sitting all by himself. I'm not going to sit with that murderer. I don't want to be around him. They were afraid of him. And they all ran. But look at verse 27. And the Bible says, But Barnabas went over and did what? Made him welcome. Hey, Brother Saul, it's so good to have you among us now. You know what? That's what opened the door for Paul to become a great preacher. Because they were afraid of him. But this Barnabas stepped out of his comfort zone and took a chance, and he welcomed this man into the church. There are people that need to be encouraged. Turn to Acts chapter 15. Look at verse 31. You see him again. And back in Acts chapter 12, they took a young boy on a missionary journey with him named John Mark. John Mark quit about half after a few days. And then they got ready to go on a second missionary journey. And Barnabas said, let's take John Mark with you. Paul said, no, he's not going. He's not going with me. He's not reliable. He'll run. Barnabas said he needs a second chance. I believe in him. I see the potential in this young man. Paul said, I don't see any potential in him. He's not going with me. Barnabas said, I see potential in this young man. So much that Paul and Barnabas, the strife between them was so intense, but Barnabas was not going to give up on John Mark. He's going. I'll go with him. You go your way and I'll go my way because John Mark is going with me. Who was right? Was there any potential in John Mark? Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, and we'll close. When Paul was incarcerated, when he was in prison, he says, Luke is with me. But he says, when you come, bring whom? John Mark. Why? He's profitable unto me. If it had not been for Barnabas, the encourager, the exhorter, what would have happened to John Mark? There's somebody today that needs you to take the time like Barnabas did with Saul, like Barnabas did with John Mark to encourage them. And just think what the church would be like if each one of us became like Barnabas. God, help me. Help me to encourage somebody today. Help me to take the time to encourage somebody today.